Ryan Burrow to the rescue, Wendy.
That totally
just
happened.
Just here to serve, sir.
Just seconds ago, Ryan, Wendy said, where is our summer? We looked outside, and it's colder and mistier and foggier than we want. And then just seconds later, Ryan, you chime in with 80 degrees coming.
Well, technically, summer doesn't start until Friday.
The 22nd?
So. I think
21st.
Friday is
21st?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. We can hold on a few more days. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
Although in our heads, isn't the 1st of June summer?
In my head, it's always June, July, August, that summer.
It's not like that anymore.
No.
It's July, August, and September,
yeah,
and some of October.
A little bit. Yep.
And all the pools close because the kids have to go back to school.
Right.
And then there's no air conditioning in some of the high schools, ours. And so now it's not too bad when the school was getting out, but when they go back in the mid-August, that's where it's 100 degrees.
This is always the time, right around mid-June, that some store decides to have their back-to-school sale. And it drives me crazy when I see that. Because
now?
If you're a kid, I always see it right around the June 20th to 25th. Some store will decide, let's start our back-to-school sale, see what happens.
Best time to buy pencils. Whew.
Oh, my God. What is
Clamoring.
It? Ticonderoga only. Those are the best.
You're loyal to the Ticonderogas?
Oh, they are the best. If you get, the orange pencils that aren't Ticonderoga, they don't sharpen well.
Right.
The lead doesn't smell as nicely.
No.
What was your favorite back-to-school thing that you got?
The lunchbox.
Trapper Keeper. By the way, those don't exist anymore, apparently.
Lunchboxes? Are they gone?
No, Trapper Keepers.
What I thought
we missed that.
They're probably dangerous.
That's part of a dryer, isn't it?
No, that's a lint trap. What is a Trapper Keeper is a binder that has Velcro that kind of closes. We missed that when we were going to school.
I don't think I had that.
And then they went back to just plain old binders.
You guys missed out.
No,
why
I'm telling
you,
didn't really.
Why would you need that, Ryan? I'm curious.
It holds everything together. It's
Do you need one for every class?
No.
Just one does it all?
All the classes.
Yeah, you could put all the different, there were pockets, and it was a binder that closed with Velcro, and it was all compact. It was like a school kit.
Made it so much easier to get book bashed by the big kids in the hallway.
Right, because you're handing them the weapon by which you'll be destroyed.
The Trapper Keeper keeps it all together so the papers don't go everywhere. Go ahead, knock it out of my hands, big guy.
A couple of times when my daughters were in school, I had the pleasure of lifting their backpacks. So we didn't have, I know it sounds like we went to school back in the Middle Ages, but nobody had a backpack.
Nope.
Whatever you brought to school, you carried. That was it. No backpack.
Yep. Did you have the little rope to tie it around?
Yes.
Like a
belt? No, we did not.
Yes.
Yeah, the paper
like
sack.
Pinocchio had.
We missed that, and we missed the backpack.
On a stick, right?
Yeah. But my daughter's backpacks, I'm not kidding, had to weigh between 25 and 30 pounds apiece.
I think more. I picked up Dylan's at the end of the school year.
Yeah.
I could barely move it.
They're so heavy. What are you transporting to school every day?
Well, here's my problem, too. They have books.
Yes.
And,
all your gym shoes and all the stuff.
Well, that stays in your gym locker.
Well, sometimes if you have a sport afterwards, you have to carry
some of the equipment.
Clothes and all
but this was mainly books, and I don't know why, with everything being online pretty much, why you need those old big-ass books.
Right? Easier.
And also, I just know from my sons, they never really used their locker too much because it was never really convenient to go to their locker, so they just put everything in their backpack.
You have the whole day's
Wendy,
worth of
school.
Wendy,
did you share a locker with someone? Did you ever share it? Did
I
you
had
have
a
friends?
Couple, yeah. I had my own locker in the typing hall. I loved it. It was like, that's where everybody met in the morning, so it was like the social area at RBHS.
Good placement.
Ooh, we're the best.
Yeah, I was next to you probably every time, because I remember having to like struggle to get around people to get to my locker, because all the cool people were hanging around there.
That was the traffic area.
Ready to book bash me.
Your lockers weren't doled out by alphabetical order?
They were.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
I was always between Burnett and Buesing.
But there
good
are different
placement.
Wings that they're alphabetized.
Oh.
I was in the typing hall. That was the way to go.
That was the creme de la creme. If you got in there, you
it
were
was
in good shape.
So centrally located to everything. And then I did have some friends near like the home ec wing that I left some stuff in if necessary.
Oh, that's nice. Like stay over stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toothbrush.
Right. a robe.
Right.
Just
change
case.
Of underwear.
Right. You never know what's going to happen during the course of a school day.
My
Did
favorite.
You guys put your lunch in your locker, too. That was so gross. Used to have mine in like a paper bag.
Yeah. I ate in the cafeteria mostly.
Me, too. You buy your lunch.
The Bulldog Burger. It was really good.
I only did that once a week.
I think I'm the only person who likes high school food and hospital food.
Please tell me it was called the Bulldog Burger because that was your team mascot That was not what the lunch was made out of.
Stop it.
Thank God.
That was our mascot.
All right.
And if you put enough mustard and ketchup and flip the slaw over on it, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, then it was all right. Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more memories. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Depends who you ask. If you ask Ryan Burrow, he's got one way wearing that cubby blue, and I'll go the other way.
You're wearing a White Sox jersey.
And you are Switzerland.
Yes, I am Switzerland in this equation. I'm the only person that doesn't like the Crosstown Classic because I want both teams to win, and that can't happen. So somebody's going to suffer. The Cubs are half a game out of first place. The White Sox are three games out in the wild card. I want both teams to do well.
They can't both win.
They can't both win.
We're not going back to
They'd
the
soccer
field.
They'd find a way for both of them to lose. It's Chicago. Somehow, magically, they could figure that out.
Wah, wah, wah. There he goes. Rokon mentioned you yesterday because when you worked with him, he would make fun of you, as I did, for liking both teams. You have to pick a side.
People say it's impossible to like, or in my case, love both teams, but it's not impossible.
You're the only one, although I believe you for things that I shouldn't, but you're the only one I believe that truly has love in their heart for both teams. However, I think you edge more towards the Cubs wearing a Cubs cap.
The colors complement my eyes more, Wendy, of the two.
But the stupid little bear makes you look stupid.
Wow. The stupid little bear, it's just a cartoon bear. He didn't do anything. But, you can like two things. It's not the world isn't Sophie's Choice. You can
I know.
No matter what it is. People go, can you like grapes and apples? Yeah, you can like grapes and apples. If you have two children, do you like one more?
Some days.
Don't answer that.
That's
that
a fluctuating
horrible.
Like more than the other one.
Yeah.
It fluctuates.
Right.
Bill, do you take up two lanes of traffic because you just can't figure out which one you want to be in?
I do.
Pick a lane.
I do.
Roadhog!
Wow. I wasn't expecting a Magoo this early. That was enjoyable.
I'm glad I'm here to please
you. Why do people hate the other team? It's in the same
city. It's called rivalry. You have to pick one.
But if there's so much hate to give to the world, hate a neighboring town. Hate the St. Louis Cardinals. Hate the Milwaukee Brewers. Hate the Minnesota Twins.
We do.
That's a given.
You want us to share a Coke is what you're saying.
I don't understand it.
But now I really don't have that much hatred anymore. Well, when the Cubs had the chance of winning the World Series, you saw that I was like, you know what?
You tolerated
I wish them
it.
Luck.
You did.
So I only wanted one win. I didn't want back-to-backs.
Right. Well, that wasn't a problem.
Yeah, thank God.
But even, like, I could see where people would be like disinterested in the other team. Like you go, I like the White Sox, so the Cubs I don't really care about. But it's hatred. It's bubbling hatred.
Why, honestly, and this is really, and you will agree with me because I've said this before. Mm-hmm. For so many years, the White Sox was that redheaded stepchild.
Always.
I mean, never getting the attention in this town that the Cubs did, and that I'm bitter about that.
Right.
April's on the line. Hi, April.
Hi there. I don't hate the other team, but I was having drinks with a friend, and he had his cousin there and his cousin's friend, and we were all discussing which teams we liked, and my friend went to the bathroom. He was a Sox fan, and I teased, and I don't mean it, that I would have never become friends if I knew that in advance, and then his cousin told me he was a Cubs fan, and while my friend was in the bathroom, I asked his cousin's friend, so which team do you root for? And he's like, I like both teams. He said, what's that make me? And my ears heard it before I even knew I said it. I said, bye. And I was worried that I was going to get beat up. But we laughed. And by the time my friend came back, his friend and I had a company that made clothing with both logos on it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I did not know he was going to say it. My ears knew it before my brain did. That's what I got to say.
I don't know how old you are, but when we were growing up, Ray Raynor used to have a baseball cap that it was like a Sherlock's home cap. And on one side was the White Sox and the other side was the Cubs. And he would just flip it
Why
back and forth.
Why don't you get that?
I don't think they make those.
Get one made.
Yeah, I'd wear something like that.
You could.
Yeah.
You could.
I like it. Well, April.
I know. I didn't get in trouble, and I feel like I'm a lot like you, Wendy, and it just came straight out of my mouth, and it was too late.
But see, that's when your heart tells you one team over the other. If somebody says, you know, Cubs or Sox, you have to pick an answer.
Hmm.
He didn't. So I called him bye.
Wow. Interesting. Well, thanks, April. I appreciate it.
Who are you going for? Mm-hmm. Who are you rooting for today?
Cubs.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Yes, but I still like you, and I hope you still like me.
I do like you, April, and that's what I think. It's a friendly rivalry.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of bitterness there, but...
Just a little.
Mainly...
Yes, like when we're playing each other, but when we're not, who really cares?
Right. So true.
Right?
Go teams!
Go teams. Have a good day.
I thought you were going to say go away. That's what I thought you were headed towards.
No, thank you, April.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Don't you think that most of the hatred, and I don't like saying hatred, most of the disdain, is that one level up from hatred? All right. Don't you think it's more toward the fan base of the other team than it is the other team? I think White Sox fans, for the most part, don't like Cub fans, and Cub fans don't like White Sox fans.
I would
it's
agree.
It's not even the team. It's just the fan base.
I would agree with that. Jeff, do you agree with that? Are the fans the ones that are hating on each other?
You know what? I don't think it's the fans that are hating on each other. I just feel like it's a misconception. Like when a Southsider thinks the North Side is Lincoln Park, that's not the North Side. Or if I think the South Side is the South Loop, I'm sure that's not the South Side. So it's not a disdain. It's just an American League team from a different city. Like it's North Side and South Side.
But it's the same city, though.
Yeah, that's what makes it difficult is we have a choice. I don't like choices.
Right, we're lucky to have a choice, right?
Right.
Yes,
there's
you are
no
right.
other city. I mean, New York has the Mets and the Yankees. So, okay, there's one other city. But no other city has the luxury of two teams. It's amazing.
I mean, California. California. Like a million teams, right? So, you know what? It's an American. They're different leagues, American National League, from different, like, cities.
I have
That's
to say, California really doesn't like the Angels, even though they're based there. In California, there's no interest in the Angels whatsoever.
I'll take Mike Trout.
We don't like California, though.
Just as on the whole?
Okay, now we're hating on other states.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
All right, Jeff. Well,
thank you, Jeff.
Who are you going for today?
Cubs, I was on John Williams yesterday. My goal is to get on every show all week.
All right. Go, Jeff.
Stay on the line. We'll get you the number for the Lutheran Hour. You can call them on Sunday.
Summer of Jeff, man. He's banging
he's everywhere.
Out the to-do list this summer.
Why do you
already?
Want to be on every show? Can I just ask?
I'm on summer vacation, and I just want to... I got in yesterday, and I just was like, you know what? I'm going to chime in today. And
you got to have goals,
we'll
Jeff. Good for you.
Share Bye-bye. The Jeff wealth.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, see ya.
Thanks, Jeff.
Bye, have a good day, guys.
Go Sox.
I am going to look for that Sherlock Holmes hat that Ray Raynor used to wear that had the Cubs logo on one side and the White Sox logo.
I remember that.
It'll profess my love for both teams, and I can solve crimes in London in the 1800s all at the same time. I can do whatever I want.
Can I be your Watson?
Yes.
Marcy, hello.
Hey there, Bill and Wendy. I grew up on the North Shore. I was a Cubs fan, like, from a little kid. My dad used to take us to the games all the time. Mm-hmm. Even I'd come home from school, my mom would be listening to the games. Took the L with my friends when I was in middle school. Always Cubs, Cubs, Cubs. About 35 years ago, I found myself going to so many Cubs games with people from out of town for business meetings. And I just was like, okay, I'm done.
Wow.
So I became a Sox fan, and I am a true White Sox fan.
Yay.
It's amazing.
That's so crazy that you switched
switch.
Like that.
Why
it's
did you?
Because out of, I don't know. I just was like,
burnt out?
I don't know. I just, yeah. I really was. And I think the fan base of the Cubs, like when you go to Wrigley, has changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of was like, oh, this is just not what it used to be. And I only, of five kids in my family, there was only one Sox fan when we were growing up. And he was, you know, just the one that always liked the Sox.
Interesting.
And Now I am a Sox fan, Bill. I live in Evanston. My son is a White Sox
fan. How about that? Ooh. It happens.
So,
well, great. I will see you at Richie Zisk's picnic later in the week. Is he having? I don't know if he's having a picnic. Oh, thank you so much
for the call, Marcy.
Bye, guys.
All right. Well, I kind of believe you like both, but yes. I think you're edging more towards the Cubs.
It hurts me that in the next 2 days someone's going to lose. I'm hoping it's a split because I don't want either one of them to suffer dramatically.
You're the one rooting for rain.
Yes. Yes. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Google has completely confused the internet.
Why? What happened?
I check the Google Doodles every day because that's my search engine. And today, it's really cute. There are three little falafels in a pita, and that's the Google Doodle. So I clicked on it, and it says Google is celebrating falafel, calling it the best thing that ever happened to chickpeas.
Uh-huh.
So then I went on to look and thought, oh, maybe today is falafel day.
Uh-huh.
It isn't. That was June 12th.
So why today? They just wanted
to celebrate falafel because they think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And Google's animated doodle celebrates the deep-fried chickpea balls. And it's the cutest thing I've ever seen. People are lighting up the Twitter sphere saying, you know, why you can't do this. It's not falafel day. Well, they just wanted to do something nice and make people smile.
They're renegades is what they are.
Yeah, I guess.
They don't play by anyone's rules.
Do you like falafel?
No. Not a fan.
I never really had a quality falafel.
The word awful is in falafel.
Not
it's
exactly.
Half of the word.
There's no W. It's deep fried Middle Eastern dish made from chickpeas. Do you like hummus?
Mm-mm.
Do you like chickpeas?
No.
That explains why you don't like the falafel.
I have a chickpea allergy.
You do not.
It's a rare condition, but I have it.
It's very popular. Google Doodle have raised a valid question, which is better, falafel or hummus?
Boy, that would take me all half of a second to consider.
If you had to choose one, one's the White Sox, one's the Cubs.
No, because I like the Cubs and the White Sox. I don't like the other things you mentioned.
It's so interesting to watch them make falafel. They just mix and smash chickpeas, and it's greenish, and they roll it into balls and throw it into oil, and it's deep fried. And if they're done correctly, I'm telling you, I have a newfound love for falafel. Yeah.
Wow.
Really super good.
Interesting.
So everybody's completely confused why it would be that way. Do you need a reason to look at a cute video of a falafel? That's what Google says. Sometimes it's nice to look at something cute on the internet, like the good old days. Remember when we mainly spent our time looking at pictures of cats?
Right. Now we've progressed.
Falafel.
Thankfully. Yes, 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 yes. We found out yesterday at about this time that Gloria Vanderbilt had passed away.
Yes.
Right. So I don't know if you watched any CNN yesterday, but several times throughout the day, they showed a little like a biofilm about her. You know, starting back as you would imagine the early days of her right up until the end. It was narrated by Anderson Cooper, who's her son.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. It made me believe that they probably had this ready because by the time I got home, just a few hours after the announcement, they already had this really well put together special about her that, like I said, he narrated, and it must have been very tough for him to narrate it. It was a really great thing to watch if you knew a little bit about her or if you were an expert about her. There were certain things. But the thing that got me the most, and I don't know why this affected me the most, is At the very end of this, Anderson Cooper is talking about his mom, and he says, I'm sure she wishes she had more time to read books that she enjoyed, more time to see another play that she enjoyed. And he was going through just a couple of the things that she really liked spending her time doing, but sadly, now that she's gone, she won't have that opportunity. And then he said that he had spent a lot of time with her in the last couple of months, and she always ended every visit or every phone call by saying the same thing. And tell me why this affected me so much, because I can't figure it out. it always ended with Gloria Vanderbilt saying to him, to Anderson Cooper, I love you, you know that. And then there's just like a little pause, and then he went on talking about her. And I teared up, and I went, I don't know why. It's not, the I love you part is great, but that's a given part of the equation. You know that she loves him. It's her son. But the you know that part is the part that got to me, and I don't know why. What's in those words that you just go... It was something that didn't need to be said, but the fact that she said it, and not once, but every time they said goodbye, there was something to that.
Maybe because he's not getting any of her inheritance, so she wanted to say, I love you, you know that.
But is he not getting any inheritance?
This was just released, Fox News Network. She had a ton of money, but the heiress likely didn't leave an inheritance for her son, Anderson Cooper, and other children. Vanderbilt, who died Monday after battling stomach cancer, was the beneficiary of a $5 million trust fund since she was born. The great-great-granddaughter of financier Cornelius Vanderbilt became known as the poor little rich girl. In 1934, at age 10, when her mother Gloria Morgan Vanderbilt and Aunt Gertrude Vanderbilt Whitney were embroiled in a custody dispute, Whitney eventually won custody, and by 1945, Vanderbilt came into her own trust fund at the age of 21. It's unclear what will happen to Vanderbilt's estate. Cooper most likely will not receive a trust fund from his mother.
Well, he's obviously not hurting for money. He's doing fine financially. So
you know,
that's
if you have
issue.
A mother who's
crazy rich, I'll probably get some of that money.
Even a couple thou.
Doesn't the name, not to stereotype, but doesn't the name Cornelius Vanderbilt sound like money? Like if you don't know who he is, but I go, Wendy, I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine. This is Cornelius Vanderbilt. Don't you just automatically go, I bet that guy's got a very heavy wallet.
Yes. Anderson Cooper told Howard Stern on his radio show in 2014 that Vanderbilt had already made it clear there is no inheritance. So honestly, maybe that's why I love you. You know that.
But you ain't getting any of my money. That was the part that he didn't mention. I don't know. I know she had another son who is no longer alive. He took his own life several years ago. So I don't know beyond that who would be the beneficiary of any of those riches. I'm not sure.
Did she have a cat or dog? Because that just
more times
irks
than
you.
Not.
That's I love when that happens because I like watching your face distort.
Because the obvious, if a cat has 30 cents or a cat has $30 billion, the cat doesn't know what to do with it. But a lot of rich people just for some reason decide I'll just give the money to the pets. It's better.
Gloria Vanderbilt had an estimated net worth of $200 million at the time of her death.
Wow.
It's unclear whether Vanderbilt left money to her two other children. One of her children, Carter Vanderbilt Cooper, died by suicide in 1988.
Yeah.
I love you. You know that.
Why?
But you ain't getting no money, honey.
I cannot figure out, because I sat there and I'm like wiping tears away and I go, okay, the I love you part of it, you're going to say that. That's what people say. It was just the way she said, you know that. Just the way he relayed that is saying...
It's pretty sweet.
You know, because it was an obvious, but she said it and it affected him.
To pepper it even
right.
more.
To it, right. That's it exactly. All right, we'll take a break and then it's Tech Tuesday. We'll talk to Ashley Escada from CNET and find out what's going on in the tech world. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You know that. Wendy, we're getting a lot of texts from people who want you to pronounce the word Iowa again. You say it slightly differently from everyone else on the planet.
Iowa. You know, we were talking about Gloria Vanderbilt, and I am telling you, all through high school, I had a group of girls that we all kind of had the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Gloria Vanderbilt jeans.
Mm-hmm. Standard.
Might have even been junior high on those.
Probably. That's about when they were at their peak, right?
Just high-waisted, straight legs, a long, lean, dark denim cut, and that little swan that was on the change pocket on the right-hand side.
Right. That was like, you know, as the alligator is to polo,
yes.
The swan was to her jeans.
And that was just a thing that we would all wear at the same time. I think back now, I mean,
right.
I guess the North Face jacket is that now. Maybe that's passé. But there were certain things, like we also had Candy's slide shoes. They were a slide and a little bit of a heel.
Yes.
We all would wear those on the same day. We probably right. looked like an army of suburbanites.
Yeah, but when there's a clique, you follow the rules of the clique.
It started in the 50s with the gangs, with the, you know, turf wars and right. all the Sharks and the Jets. Right. They all had the same kind of look.
This was a slightly softer version of that.
This is suburban, right. you know, fashion gangs.
Right.
And then we had these landlubber, they had a bib top, and then it was just a denim skirt, and they were kind of long.
I remember seeing those.
It was lame. We would call each other and say, landlubber day. Okay, I'm going to wear my candies, too. I mean, I think about it now, and it's like, boy, I was stupid.
So even though it was, I mean, it was in fashion, you would reinforce that by call. There was like a chain of calls just
hey,
to be sure.
Hey, let's do this tomorrow.
These are all still in. We're all still going to wear these. Interesting.
And we always did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would girls want to wear the same thing as another girl? I mean, as I think about this now, you would want to be different.
No, but there's the fitting in part of it, right?
With a landlubber bib top jean skirt?
Yeah, but that's always a part of it, especially when you're a kid. You want reassurance that what you're wearing is still the thing to wear. So on a daily basis, I didn't know it happened that often that there'd be a phone call chain going around. Are you going to wear it? I'm going to wear it. We're all going to wear it. It'll be great. We'll all be wearing the same thing. It'll be great.
Now I'm horrified if I show up somewhere and I'm wearing something that someone else has on.
Well, I've told you this. It throws me when I'm clothes shopping and a salesperson will say, we're selling a lot of these. A lot of people are wearing these.
I have never heard them say that.
I don't want that. If everybody's wearing it, I don't want that. Thanks, though.
Yeah, I would see where you'd
We've
say.
We've sold four of these today. They're moving like crazy. Everyone's wearing these.
Some people would think, you know, well, these are very popular. Right. I got to get in on this, too. But anyway, looking, you know, yesterday I had said that she had like this very severe look with really red lips and a pale white face and this really dark hair.
Yeah.
I was looking back at her younger years. She was a beautiful woman.
She was really pretty. I mean, still striking later in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was still working on projects. She was still very active into her 90s, which, you know, is always so reassuring.
Yeah.
I love hearing that. So that's a tough loss. It was really interesting to hear this piece narrated that ran on CNN yesterday by her son, because I think when all is said and done, that's probably the person who knew her the most. So many times when a celebrity goes, you'll get one of these little films, these bio films, but it's narrated by somebody who might just kind of know them a
right.
little bit or know their story. But, he knew her his whole life, so who better to do it than him?
Yesterday, we briefly touched on Gloria Vanderbilt because we did it at the Crosstalk with Steve Cochran, and someone texted in saying, are you kidding? I had no idea Anderson Cooper was her son. And I told you off the air, really up until about maybe 5-6 years ago, I had no idea.
He didn't flaunt it much?
No, not at all.
I think he's one of those people that wanted to succeed on their own terms and not because he was, you know, the son of somebody famous. I think he really pushed himself to survive on his own. I remember watching him, and I don't remember what network it was, but it wasn't a major show. But he used to anchor this news show that was on overnight at times. And you know how normally on the news, they kind of just deliver the story, and when the story's over, they deliver the other story. There's very little commentary. But on this particular broadcast, and I don't remember who his co-anchor was. It was a woman who was also very, very good, but I don't know what's come of her. They would do the story, and they would just kind of either joke about it or discuss it between the two of them and then move on to the next story. And I loved that.
Kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
Gloria Vanderbilt, socialite Gloria Vanderbilt, told the New York Times in 1985, I am not knocking inherited money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another quote, but the money I've made has a reality to me that inherited money doesn't have. As the Billie Holiday song goes, she continued, Mama may have and Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own.
So do you think, I don't know when it was made evident to Anderson Cooper that he would not be inheriting these countless millions of dollars from his mom, but maybe that was the push he needed to succeed on his own. Maybe if early on she said, hey, the family has a lot of money, but that's not necessarily going your way. So good luck. Do what you need to do, but make your own fortune. That might have been the impetus for him to succeed on his own.
And that's why, honestly, I did not I mean, he didn't publicize the fact that he was Gloria Vanderbilt's son, ever.
Didn't hide it, but didn't jump out of his way to mention it. Right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I honestly didn't know it for quite some time, and I like him.
Yeah. You can kind of see, especially in the earlier pictures when she was younger, there's a very similar bone structure. The faces are very similar. And he looks a bit like his dad, too. I saw pictures of his dad. And the story about his brother is just
I didn't know that
so
either
tragic.
Until recently.
If you don't know the story, I don't want to. It's just a very sad story, but read it on your own online. It's extremely tragic.
When Cooper was talking to Howard Stern back in 2014, he said, "My mom has totally made it clear to me there's no trust fund. There's none of that," Cooper told Stern, "and I don't believe in inheriting money."
Wow.
So I believe that I love you, you know that, meant that. I think
that
he was told at a young age, you're not getting my money.
Right.
I love you, though, you know that, but you're not getting any of my money. I think he left up, but you're not getting any of my money.
It's possible. I wonder what percentage of people, especially from extremely wealthy families, upon hearing that news, disassociate. No, do you think there's some element of that?
Yeah, I don't have to give my money to my kids. I'm going to leave it to my goldfish.
I would spend a little bit of time trying to convince my parents otherwise. I would say, you know, giving to charity is an extremely important thing, but there should be some trickle down.
I don't believe in trickle down.
None at all?
No.
You're not going to give your boys any of your vast fortune?
First of all, there's going to be none left. And then you think about it, it's like...
Maybe giving it to coworkers, Wendy, is the way to go and not family.
Don't you want your parents to enjoy their last years on Earth?
Oh, absolutely.
So, in a weird way, why shouldn't they use the money that they've saved to travel?
Right. See, the beauty of coming from a family that has no money is it's really not an issue with
us. Yeah, same with us.
There's never been much discussion about it, thankfully.
My mom passed away, and I only got her Honda Civic because I had to buy out my brother and my sister.
Yeah.
It was a third.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Gloria Vanderbilt wouldn't have even given you the Honda Civic. You would have been on your own.
Well, I paid a third. I had to buy my brother and sister out.
All right.
We
that.
Each got a third of it, and I didn't want just the side view mirror. All right, coming up, the stories that matter with Ryan Burrow. He is sitting in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom in his Cubs gear. That's all coming up. It's 720 WGN.
Thanks, Ryan. Bill Left and it's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, do you feel like taking a quiz? You want to take a quiz?
I love quizzes, Bill. I fall for them on Facebook all the
time. Yeah, this is a fun one. It'll determine how annoying you are.
I'm not taking this
one. How annoying is Wendy quiz?
I'm not taking this one.
All right. So they over at Best Life have put together a bunch of annoying things that they say people do every day. You don't even think about these things. They're just automatic. See how many of these things you're guilty of. First, do you humble brag?
I don't even know what that is.
I will describe it. We all have days when we're eager to share a personal story, but don't know how to bring it up without sounding like we're patting ourselves on the back. Unfortunately, in many cases, what comes out is worse. It is a humble brag or backdoor brag, a way of boasting without outright saying what you're proud of. For instance, if someone were to say, "I had to hire a housekeeper because my new house is just too big for me to take care of alone." Do you do that?
I don't think
you do that at all.
It's frustrating shopping for new clothes because I've lost so much weight.
Yes, that's it. Ryan, just like that. Just like
my
that.
My kids are so smart, I can't believe they can get through our new Gilkey door because their brains are so big. I think
that's
humble advertising.
You're humbletizing.
I don't do that.
I don't think you do that.
First of all, not very many things I'm proud of.
Wow.
I mean, there's every once in a while I'll say, oh, Michael did this or Dylan did that, but I don't do it in a braggy way.
I don't think so.
I mean, be honest.
No,
you don't either.
You do. I don't think so. I hope not.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Nope.
Ryan Burrow does.
Ryan all the
Super
time.
Humble bragger.
every minute of every day.
That's my thing.
Now, this one you and I have argued about in the past.
Oh, boy.
Not standing to one side of an escalator.
I stand to the right, but I stand. I don't walk on it.
Right. No. But what they're about to say is what I've been saying all along, which is on an escalator, if you're just going to stand, you do stand where you stand on the right, But if your goal is to walk up the escalator, and why wouldn't you? You go to the left. But there's people who just kind of stand and block the way of somebody in the left-hand escalating lane.
I never, like, hog the hall.
Do you confront people who stay who block the lane? Do you say, excuse me?
Yes, I say that. I say, excuse me, and then I get this from them all the time. They turn around and they go, like, I have to move half a foot to the left to the right to get out of this guy's way.
Well, are you the escalator police?
I'm not the escalator. I can't even say it, so that proves I'm not it. And I'll tell you something else that is a new thing. You know how, like, right across the street, well, you don't use the parking lot that I use, but there's a stairway right across the street from our building that you have to take to get down to the street level to get to where I park, right? And now there's a thing, like, on a stairway, shouldn't it act like a roadway?
Yes, right.
Where people going down are on the right, people coming up are on the left.
Well, it depends. You just stay to the right.
Stay to the right, yeah. I'm at my left as I'm descending the staircase. But
you
there's
are
people
very
that don't. Thank you.
Is that a universal rule, though, or is that just
well, Europeans
an
probably
American?
Have a different. The other,
right. Yeah, so I'll ask them. I'll go, what are you, European?
Because, you know, and we have a lot of tourists here, and I noticed that, and a lot of people from other countries walk a different route on the stairwell.
Isn't that crazy, though?
Yeah, so maybe they have different ways to do it. They drive on the left.
But don't you have to follow the rules of the country that you're in, the staircase?
Again, are you going to walk around like Barney Fife?
Yeah, where do you read rules like that? I mean, it's when you're on a path, on a bike, and, you know, on your left.
Right. Yeah.
That stairwell, by the way, is a magnet for big baby strollers.
Yes, it is, Ryan.
There's no place for those people to go, and they've got to go down the stairs. And, of course, all of these baby strollers are huge.
And that leads to more humble bragging, because you hear people say, sorry, I have such a large baby stroller, but look. Look at the size of my baby. You hear that every day. And you hear it in a European accent, Mary, to prove your point.
On the left side.
Yeah.
Le bébé.
Right. It's crazy. All right. So, Wendy, no points taken away or given for that one. Now, this one I don't fully understand.
Okay.
You're not supposed... This says that this is annoying if you do this, but I don't know about that. If you're in a restaurant or a cafe... And you say, you start your order with, can I get a ... They say that the more polite thing to say to your server is, may I please have a ...
Oh, that sounds like grammar police
That's
stuff.
Right. That one's nitpicking just a little bit.
Yeah, because you could just say, you know, hi, I'm Wendy. I'll be your server. What can I get you tonight?
Right.
And you can just go, I'll have...
Right.
You don't... May I please have...
That one's a little much, right?
Yeah.
They're pushing on that one. I agree. This one, it's annoying if you... It says, not holding the door for a person behind you.
I hate that. I hold the door for everybody.
Always.
Do you do it awkwardly, like the person's still 20 yards behind you? Because that can get awkward. I've done that before, and everyone just kind of feels weird.
What's the proximity rule on door holding?
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
what
they
should
have
it be?
To be right behind you. I don't think if they're like, you know, 10 steps back.
What about, is it different on an elevator? Because I'm notorious if I know people are coming.
You got
I will
yelled
block.
At for that.
I did,
you
in
remember?
Our old building, I got yelled at. A woman said, and I quote, some of us have places to be.
Although you did hold it for several people,
I held it
right?
for two different people. And the woman on the elevator was very upset with me.
This is what you do when you see someone coming. You reach forward like you're hitting door open, but you don't hit the button.
You're just pantomiming.
Yes.
You're not actually doing it.
And then you walk backwards against the wind. And then you
Look,
pretend
I'm stuck
you're in
a cage.
Box.
I can't get out of the cage.
I'm in an elevator. I'm in an invisible elevator. I can't get out.
That were, if you're Marcel Marceau, Wendy, that would work every time. But
I hold
not.
The door for people. And getting back to the stairs, I was at an antique mall over the weekend, and the stairwell was a little narrow, and I was on my way down. There was a mom and a teenage daughter at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah.
And I was working my way down, and they just started up. So I had to, like, stop and move over to, like... There were four more steps at that point. Just, hey, how's it going? And let me finish.
Right.
I had to stop, like, and wait for them to get through.
That's a hard one to swallow. But the worst one is, especially with an escalator, when people get to the top and then step off and then just stand
oh,
there.
Oh, I want to just...
You have
can't
to
tell
know there's
you what
people behind
do.
You on the escalator. That's not the stopping point.
People get off elevators and do that too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I understand. I mean, like, if say you're on vacation.
Confused.
Yes.
I got on this box and it was the eighth floor and now I'm on a different in a different world. What happened?
A lot of times at hotels, if you've not been there before, you're just checking in. You will get out of the elevator and look around to figure out which way to go.
Right.
Just step away from the doorway. That's it.
Agreed.
Just like
step away from the doorway.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm with you all the way.
No one has any idea of what is going on around them, and it drives me nuts.
So is this a new thing, or has that been around for a while?
And I think it's been around for a while.
Yeah? All right. This one, I think, again, would fall under nitpicking, but refusing to walk single file on a crowded sidewalk.
I hate that.
When it's a large cluster of people,
yes.
And you just have to give way to them.
No,
right.
Yes, I don't like, I mean, as we walk to dinner a lot in our town, the four of us, and if we're approaching someone, we go into single file, because that's what you're supposed to do. And so many times, and it's not just like goofy teenagers, it's like, you know, a couple of parents that are all going out together, they're walking in this mob, and it's like, no, at some point, if someone's there,
single file,
baby.
I know.
Why should I have to walk on the grass?
Right. I'm with you all the way.
What do you do with the electric scooters?
Ah, good question, Ryan.
Oh, boy, I don't even know.
Into the river.
Just into the river? Wow. Severe, but effective. All right, we'll take a quick break and then more of these. How annoying are you? Are you doing any of these things? 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Taking the annoying test, and I am not flunking.
You're doing very well, Wendy.
Thank you.
Did you study for this? You must have studied. You're doing so well.
I don't mean to humble brag, because I still don't know how to do it, but yes, I studied because I didn't need to.
Right. So true. All right. These are all things we're trying to determine how annoying you are or aren't. What about this? Singing along with a song like you're trying to win a Grammy. Do you do that? I don't think you do that.
Not in front of you.
But you do that privately on your own or with family members?
Well, not like I'm trying to win a Grammy.
Belt it out?
I'd belt.
You can, when a song comes on that moves you to sing it, that's fine, but you have to kind of know your surroundings, right?
Yeah, I mean,
stop, you close your eyes, you raise your hands.
Right. You hire a friend to put a spotlight on you. Maybe a strobe light if the song is that type of song.
I'm just thinking about in the car, if there's like a great song.
You're by yourself in this, or you're
well
with
by
others?
Myself. It doesn't matter. But if all of us are in the car, we all kind of sing.
Everybody does.
Yeah,
it's what the Jonas Brothers do to you.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
I know. The last time it was Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant. I don't know. We were flipping around.
The whole family was singing Electric Avenue.
Yeah, and the boys didn't really know it, but really the lyrics are not that hard to pick up, and we were just cranking it and singing.
Do you all know the lyrics to the songs that you sing?
Mostly. Yeah. It's, you know, the classic rock, so I for sure know
it.
Jim knows it. Michael knows it. And Dylan now is, you know, has his own turntable and vinyl, so he knows it. Yeah, we sing to Queen songs. I mean, we belt.
Yeah. What would, if somebody just kind of knew you and they were in the car, what would they think while they were hearing this? Would they go, wow, these guys are great. They should go on the road, these guys.
No, they'd say, boy, that's a family having fun.
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Here's one.
You're judging me for that.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't do that. Not returning your shopping cart.
I do that all the time.
You don't put it in the cart corral?
I return it
all
the
time. Oh, you do return it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I always return it.
No,
I
don't like to balance it against a curb, some random curb?
Nope. Even when it's raining, I always put it in the little corral.
I like that it's called the cart corral because that gives it a very Deadwood feel. I feel like I'm doing something back around the turn of the century that's potentially dangerous.
Mine goes in the river.
Ryan, you're bitter today. I don't know what's your deal. It's like run people off on scooters.
But you see people just kind of leave it in the open space next to their car. And because it's Chicago and it's usually windy, that cart's going to travel.
And, I mean, if you leave it in the empty spot next to you, then someone pulls up to take that spot.
Right.
And you can't do
it. So true. Talking ad nauseum.
That's me. Sorry, guilty.
No, there's more to it, Wendy. You're off the hook.
Okay.
You're off the hook. About how busy you are. Do you do that?
Only to Jim. I am so busy. I have to do this. I have to do that. Could you do this?
Yes. Yes.
I don't like
you
to be
will
busy.
Subliminally, I've noticed, at the end of a day, tell Jasmine and myself what you have to do next. You know you do that, right?
I don't really ever have to do anything. Sometimes no. I have doctor's appointments.
But you'll go, well, now I have to go to the bathroom, and then I have to go to the bank.
Oh, my gosh. I do this all the time. My husband says I'm like a narrator of my life. I go and have to tell him everything I'm doing because I feel guilty if I'm just sitting around.
Right. Sure. So
I'm sorry so if I'm guilty of that. I don't really ever have anything to do if it's just I'm going to the bathroom.
The bathroom one is weird because there's nothing anyone can, like, whenever you tell us you have to go to the bathroom, we always go, I don't know what to do with that.
You're supposed to give her a hall pass.
But see, now I've been in radio for 33 years, and in the old days when I just started, you had to let someone know where you were going. You couldn't just, like, leave.
Right. But so, I would assume if you weren't here that I would go, well, she's either at a book club meeting.
I hope she's back in time.
Right. I hope it's a short book because we're back on in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I don't. I just feel like, honestly, in being in radio, you had to tell somebody where you were all the time.
You don't have to tell me. I just assume.
All right. Well, today I didn't go to the bathroom. I couldn't find my water. So I said, I'm going to go find my water.
Oh. All right. Well,
I know
tell
you
me if you're
care.
Looking for water.
No, I just, if I'm not Bill, here.
Yes.
To Wendy's defense,
yes.
Sometimes I have to tell her to go to the bathroom before
all right,
she
forget. Enough of this.
She will forget.
Because she'll forget. She'll be like, wait, I didn't go to the bathroom.
All right. I will make you a deal. I will never tell you when I leave the studio again if when there's dead air, you can turn your own mic on and start talking.
I know where that is.
All right.
Jasmine, could you make a punch card for Wendy so she knows on
Wendy,
any given
I'm
day?
On your side. Sometimes I do have to tell you to go to the bathroom before you leave. Because, you know, you'll sit in traffic and you're like, oh, my gosh, I didn't go.
Okay, I'm not 80.
You're not 80.
You're close.
And I don't wear Depends
yet. It is not a
yet.
Bad thing.
Not yet. Not yet. How about this one? Looking at your phone when you're... These are all things that you may or may not be guilty of that are considered to be annoying by some. Looking at your phone when you're talking to somebody in person.
I do that a lot.
You do that a bit?
I'm pretty guilty.
Are you trying to not do it, or have you given up?
No, I'm because see, there's stuff going on here, and I don't like to look at my phone or even my computer.
Yeah.
When you and I are speaking,
yeah.
But sometimes, you know, I'm looking for things. I feel guilty every time Eric Zorn is here. I'm like looking at texts and I'm looking at things, and I feel like he thinks I'm not listening. I can do both.
He said last week, and I quote: "I don't think Wendy likes me."
He did.
And
not.
I said she doesn't. I just wanted to make it clear. So he didn't worry. I didn't want him to worry. I said, Eric, your fears are founded. They're definitely founded. There is a friend of mine, and that's all. I won't go any more specific than that. I can't remember the last time I had a conversation with him where he wasn't glancing at his phone midway through a sentence.
Really?
And I don't know. I know what he does for a living. It's not the kind of thing where he's not like James Bond where the government's trying to contact him saying, Dr. No's on the loose. He could have a conversation without the constant phone glance. He just chooses not to.
I usually get texts of, you know, where are my gym shoes? Or so
yes.
I look at my phone, but
yes.
He just glances or does he stay on it?
It's just a quick glance to see if there's a... I think it's become part of us now that there's a constant need to see if somebody is trying... And I don't understand it because you know this about me. When I'm done for the day here, I put my phone away and I don't see it again until the next day sometimes.
Can I tell you something? And please don't take offense to this.
Yeah.
No one's trying to get in touch with you for anything.
No, no, it's not true. When I do pick it up the next day, I always have 4, 5, 6, 7 messages.
Oh, wait, the next day. My things are like urgent. No, I mean, really, you can go to work. Terry's got things under control.
Yeah.
Your girls can stand on their own 2 feet.
Yeah.
So there's not a... I'm still like, oh, God, what now?
But isn't a lot of that just perceived?
Yeah, I
like
guess.
If for some reason you didn't have a phone for a day or two, you'd survive.
I forgot it one day, and you know I told you it was the best day of my life.
Yes.
It honestly was, because it's... And I called Jim from the office phone and said, dude, I do not have a phone, so if you need me, you can't get me.
Isn't it liberating?
It was the greatest day of my life.
Every once in a while, one of the phone companies will put out an offer where they're looking for somebody where you can't use your phone for 60 days or 90 days, and they'll pay you $10,000. And I always go, sign me up.
Why don't you sign up?
I would love to do that. I could get by in a minute without, you could take my phone away for a year, I'd be fine.
I was just going to say, that's the day you get a flat tire and can't call AAA. But honestly, all you have to do is flag someone down and say, hey, can I just use your phone?
Right.
Or can you dial this number?
Somebody will have a phone.
I say do it.
Yeah, I'm in. All right, again, these are all things that are potentially annoying. Parking too close to the line in a parking lot.
I will back up and repark 10 times if I have to in order to get inside those lines.
Yes.
And then it's so irritating when someone parks you in and you can't get in your door.
Right.
That's the time I wish I had an old beater because I would just ram their car 5 or 10 times.
Well, here's what has happened in the last couple of years. Our cars are getting bigger. We're all driving bigger cars.
And the slots are getting
smaller.
Parking lots
are making... Yes.
So they can get more spaces.
There's no question. Mary, if you're still around, didn't you just have an incident in the parking lot here?
This is the worst parking lot I've ever parked in my life.
That's why I have... Yes, I scraped my car on this stupid cement block. And everybody's been I've been hit already, so now I have matching little dents. I have scrapes on one side and a dent on the other from when someone hit and ran. And Grzanich got hit last week.
These spots are so tight that you, honest to God, have to maneuver like 12 times to get in and out of a spot.
Yeah.
And I'm terrible. And, you know, I come in early in the morning. There should be an ample amount of spots.
You would
but
think.
Still, if you park too close to that cement block, then you have to inch. So now I've decided I'm parking in the middle.
Yeah.
So... And I'm parking as close to the left line as I can. And I don't care if you guys say that's wrong, but I'm going to. Because if everybody parked further to the left, we wouldn't have this problem.
But you're still within the boundary line.
Yeah, but if you're right up against the line, that's not
good
either.
I'm not against it, but I mean, I'm closer to the left. So I'll see if I can get in my car today when I get down there. But, you know, you got to put the mirrors in on both sides.
I know.
Right.
That's terrible.
Right.
And I'm thinking, honestly, if they removed one spot and relined it, that's all they need
to do.
Better
for everybody.
So, one spot in each section, they'd be down, what, eight?
Right.
Eight spots?
Two spots in between each, you know, cement block, right?
But then in their heads...
Instead of three.
But then we're down $40
a
day.
Right. And all, it's hotel parking. So, you know, it's all out of towners. And that's, I think, who hit me, probably.
Yep.
The fold-up car. That's what we have to worry. I mean, come on. George Jetson did it.
Yes.
It got right into a suitcase. We could get yours in a little lunchbox.
Easily.
Wouldn't that be cute?
I would love that. All right. We'll take a break. We'll get you some news. And then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Ryan. I know we don't agree on the White Sox or the Cubs. Good luck to them, the White Sox. But we can all agree on the Blackhawks, and we have a 4-pack of tickets to the Blackhawks convention. It is the 12th annual. It's happening July 26th through the 28th next month, Hilton, Chicago. Current players will be there, alumni autograph sessions, photo sessions, Q&A panels. It's so much fun. Exhibits, interactive games. You can visit Blackhawks.com to purchase your passes today, or you can be in honor of our Captain, Jonathan Taves, number 19. Be the 19th caller right now at 312-981-7200. Caller 19, Jasmine, 312-981-7200, and you'll get yourself a 4-pack of passes to the Blackhawks convention next month at Hilton, Chicago. Visit Blackhawks.com to get your passes today.
It really is a lot of fun.
It really is.
Yeah,
an opening ceremony kind of thing.
Yes.
Usually Cochran's show is there, Rose there,
right.
Dave Ennett.
Yep.
It's really a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see who wins that. Also, something that is a lot of fun is having junk food. We all kind of like junk food.
Sure.
The whole thing is all things in moderation, except for heroin. Weren't we talking about this off the air? There are some things maybe you shouldn't have ever. But junk food, all things in moderation, and there's this new thing that's going on Amazon. It's, I don't know why anybody would waste their money on this. Amazon is selling a bracelet which will give you an electric shock if you eat too much fast food.
Oh, that's a great idea. An electric shock.
Yeah, I would imagine much like the dog collars of the electric fences, which are terribly cruel, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you eat too much fast food, this is going to try and cure you of your bad habits by shocking you. It's called Pavlok.
Oh, that's
a creative
a great name.
Pavlov's dogs, and it locks
that's
you out.
That's a great name.
Pavlok can deliver a 350-volt shock if you indulge in bad behaviors.
Wow.
How much is that?
I obviously don't know everything about electricity, but you would feel that. That's a lot of voltage.
Well, 9-volt battery, you know, is for your transistor radio, and sometimes you've got shocked by that if you licked your fingers and touched both. I don't know why I would, but I did. 350 volts seems like a lot. We should ask one of our engineers.
350 volts is, and I hope you'll remember this, but there was a time where at a trick shop, you could get a book that had a provocative title. It was a little book, and it would be like, a whole bunch of naked ladies would be the title of the book. And then when you opened it up, it was a 350-degree shock that you got.
350 volts?
Yeah.
How do you remember that?
Because I remember seeing them in trick shops and begging my parents to get that book, and they go, we're not buying you that book. Why would we get you that book? But I wanted one so bad. Do you remember this? It was like a
I do remember it.
You just open it up and it would vibrate and but you would feel a shock of 350 volts.
It was bad, but it wasn't that bad.
It didn't knock you down, but
I didn't look at
it.
I didn't look for the naked ladies. So there must have been a different
other versions for the ladies.
Let's congratulate someone. Kathy, you are caller number 19 and you are going to the Blackhawks convention.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you are so sweet.
I had to work for Father's Day, so now I can go.
Oh, that's perfect.
I can give a Father's Day gift. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Kathy, where are you calling from?
Right now I'm calling from Elk Grove. I'm at work.
All right, well, let's put you on hold and get your information so you don't get in trouble. But you have a 4-pack of tickets to the Blackhawks Convention next month, July 26th through the 28th at the Hilton Chicago. Have fun.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
God, you are so welcome. What a gracious winner. You should be more like that.
I should be more like that. Was she crying? I think she was crying.
I think she was excited. And then she got me whispering, too, because she's at work. I don't want to get her in trouble.
Right.
Wait, we're at work, too.
I know.
All right, back to Pavlok. It can deliver a 350-volt shock if you indulge in bad behavior, such as smoking, pulling your hair, sleeping in, or eating junk food.
Wow.
So you can set it to what you need.
Yes.
The bracelet is paired with an app on your phone. You can pick which habit that you're trying to quit, and then it tailors the shocks to you.
So you set it up, you pre-set it up to where, like, can you set it for, I can have some junk food, but I can't overdo it? Or is it just anything that's considered junk food? And how does it know? How would it determine what exactly you were eating?
That's a great question, because I would try and outsmart it.
Yes. There must be a way to beat this
thing.
I am
going to have a big salad right now.
Right. But in reality, it's potato chips or a Whopper or something.
The bracelet costs 193 euros.
Oh.
It learns your behaviors, can shock you whenever you indulge in a bad habit. If you want to lose weight and cut out junk food, I just said it like Marsha Brady.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That was great. Skewel.
If you want to cut out junk food, you can track your calorie intake via the app, and if you go over.
Oh, then it shocks you.
Yeah.
Does it warn you first? Does it say you're 80 calories away? Be careful. There should be a warning.
I don't know.
Like just a quick pulse. Would be a warning.
Or when you look at the app, because there are Lose It apps and MyFitnessPal, and you just log what you eat for the day.
Yes.
So you know how many calories you have left for the day.
Right.
I think that's kind of on your own to realize if I have 80 left and I'm having a churro, I think I'm going to go over and get zapped.
Yeah.
Your friends and family can also download the app to keep track of you. And if they see you've been eating too much, they can zap you remotely.
That's cruel.
I was on board until then, but I love it.
That's kind of cruel.
Pavlok 2 wearable bracelet electroshock response biofeedback Amazon. Let me see how much it is in real dollars.
Is it about a 2-to-1 conversion on euros? Is that about right?
Can I tell you, I'm lame. I have never been to Europe. I don't know what this sign is.
Oh.
It looks like an L with
the
line
through it.
Yeah,
euros. Oh, that's euros.
What's a franc?
That's French currency.
What is a franc? What does it look like? What's the sign for it? See, not everybody knows.
I don't know what the sign is for that.
If you need extreme... Oh, wait. If they spot you going for a second slice of cake, they could administer a shock on the spot. If you need extreme discipline, the app can track your hand movements and automatically shock you every time you raise your fork to your mouth.
Oh, That's
not
extreme.
Necessary.
I want this.
You do, Jen?
What would you set it up for, Jen?
I ate 3 pieces of cake on Sunday alone. Yeah, I need this.
All right, I may pitch in on this one then for Jen.
I know this is a dumb question, but wasn't one enough?
No.
One piece of cake is never enough.
No.
See, again, I'm not that big on sweets. What kind of cake? Was it a good cake?
It was chocolate cake with chocolate buttercream frosting, stuffing, and custard.
Stuffing?
Yeah, like the chocolate buttercream like stuffed inside of the two-layer
cake. Chocolate Thanksgiving cake,
Wendy.
Oh my
gosh, it was great.
That's too rich to have three pieces, though.
The day before, I went to Ribfest, and I had a churro sandwich that had s'mores in the middle, so...
Wow.
I really need this.
Who goes to Ribfest and doesn't have ribs, besides Jen DeSalvo?
Me, yeah. My husband.
Could set it up for that. It could zap you just for that.
Just have ribs.
Right.
So someone else can shock you. I don't know. Every time you raise your fork, what if you're coughing or something?
Right. That's too much.
You're picking your nose.
That's too much.
The device is capable of delivering 150 shocks a day, which they compared to walking across a rug and touching a doorknob. So not hurting you, but annoying. Like the static shocks.
Yeah,
I hate
that's
those
not
in the winter.
But that's manageable. Like, if you really have your heart set on some junk food, you could endure that much of a shock to go, I'm getting ice cream out of this. I don't care.
And you can control it remotely to shock yourself if you're even tempted by a cheeseburger.
You shock yourself every day, don't you?
I'm a shock yourself, Jack.
Yes, you are.
The padlock says, quote, it's not just random wearable that shocks you, but has been designed with both the latest science and habit change research. The makers claim that within three days, your cravings will be significantly reduced. Well, that's a fact, Jack.
I could see that.
Because they say that fast food and junk food is addictive. So if you limit it or reduce it significantly in 3 days, you're not going to crave it as much.
Right. You're out of the woods.
You give up sugar twice a year, and it's kind of hard at first, but don't you kind of get used to it where you're not
craving? After 2 or 3 days, I don't crave it anymore.
It's that quickly that the craving goes away?
Yes, it happens fast.
The website says Pavlok is a behavior training device that works by utilizing aversive conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't like that in dogs, and I don't like that in people.
Oh.
I really don't. Positive reinforcement. If you set a goal, if you lose 3 pounds in 1 week, you go get your nails done.
Oh, that could also work. But I bet there's probably people out there where this sort of behavior works better for them.
That's just
for their goal,
mean.
You don't think? Well,
should have more self-love and not zap yourself.
Right.
Aversive conditioning is essentially behavior training that uses negative stimuli and association to help reaffirm a specific action as undesirable.
Mm-hmm. Like Pavlov's dog, right? Or who was the other guy?
Was the bell.
Skinner?
The bell rang and the dogs would salivate. There was no, and then they'd feed them. So that was Pavlov's dogs.
Was B.F. Skinner the one who did conditioning? That was him, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Why don't they call it that?
I don't know. Pavlok is worn around your wrist.
Why don't they call it Frank Zapper? So every time you ate a hot dog, it would zap you.
I would get it just
the
because
Frank
of
Zapper.
That. Pavlok is worn around your wrist. It uses a small electric zap by simply pushing the button on your wristband or by remote control on the Pavlok smartphone app whenever you find yourself craving or actually doing the behavior you want to get rid of.
Oh, that's high tech.
I don't
Very
like
effective.
It.
I had this dog once, and my dad bought him one of those shock collars to train him.
Oh, I don't like those.
I hate them. But anyways, he realized if he got far enough away from us that he could just keep running and he wouldn't get shocked anymore. And I feel like this would be...
Right. You'd find a way around it.
Oh, I forgot my phone today. The app isn't here. I'm going to have this McDouble.
Yeah, that's like, easy.
Oh, it's just a little zap on my wrist. It's no big deal.
All right, a quick break. And then more of us, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, I said 193.62 francs, no, euros.
Euros.
Is what this Pavlok thing cost on Amazon. That's $242.92.
Wow, a bargain.
U.S. dollars. Just did
Get
the conversion.
Get a couple of them. That'd be great.
And it will zap you if you are eating junk food or if you... I'm sure you could do it, like if you bite your nails.
Yeah, you could probably set it to any vice that you have that you're trying to rid yourself of. You can rig it so that it will zap you upon doing that. That's a good thing. What would you set yours for?
When I'm mean to people.
Oh, be a nonstop vibrate. Constant. It would never stop going off. You'd have to change the batteries every 10 minutes.
I am really trying in my old age to be nicer to people because...
Yeah.
you know.
Because why not?
That's when you're not supposed to be nice to people, right?
When you're older.
When I get grumpier as you grow up.
When I get into my, depends how long I live, but if I get up there into my 80s, look out.
But people are more willing, like if somebody's older and they're in a bad mood all the time, you just read, people just give in to that. They go, well, you know, she's been around a long time.
Her knees hurt.
Yes.
Life's been evil to her.
Yes.
I got to tell you, I don't notice older people being that crotchety anymore. Because
no?
People are in better shape and living longer. And I just,
yeah,
you know, I think they're happy to be there every day. I am not noticing crabby old people anymore.
Do you miss? I miss them. Where are they?
I don't miss them.
Come back, crabby old people.
I don't miss them, but I really, you know.
But didn't you have a neighbor? Like, we had a neighbor, Mr. Kowalski, but I will not say that on the air. And whenever the ball would go, he would just sit on a lawn chair and wait for a ball. Whatever game we were playing, he would wait for it to come on his lawn so he could scoop it up, put it in his garage in a big, giant box of balls that he kept in there. And that was a good day for him.
But don't you feel sorry for him that that's the only thing he had to do?
Yes.
Because if you put yourself in someone else's shoes, that's when you realize, yeah, that's pretty crappy. You've lost your ball.
Right.
But that's what he has to look forward to in his life.
He lived for that.
That's
would get so
sad.
Excited as a ball would come toward his lawn. You could just see it in his eyes. Oh, I'm going to screw with these guys and put it in this big, giant box that he kept.
Maybe he was a closet juggler. And just
I'm sure that was the case.
He couldn't afford to purchase balls, so he would just steal them from you guys.
Yes, I'm positive that
I don't understand why someone would intentionally try and ruin someone's fun.
I don't understand it either.
Kids.
Right, right.
But, you know, perhaps he never got married, never had grandkids.
No, he was married.
Do you have grandkids?
I don't know. I just know him from his lawn chair sitting days. He was very good at what he did. Really good. Like I marveled at that. His ability to see a ball halfway down the block coming his way. His timing was impeccable.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo. She is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And Elise Glink will be sitting in for Steve Bertrand today for the Wintrust Business Lunch. We will talk to her next on 720 WGN.